Everything I'm going to talk about this morning is hangs on one really simple concept that is so complicated that you could spend the rest of your life examining it and still have aha moment after aha moment. And that is that this is a scaled down version of what Jesus suffered and died on. Because, you know, if I stand here, this isn't very threatening, right? My feet aren't hanging off the ground. It was a really miserable place to be. Dying on the cross was very painful, and the flogging he took beforehand was very painful. But what we have to remember is that Christ had great joy in this moment. If you've seen the Gibson movie about Christ, the hours before his death, that very horrific movie, there's a moment in there that's probably fiction, but he says to his mother while he's on his way to the cross, "See, Mother, I'm changing everything. I'm making all things new." And the whole movie can go away for me except for that one moment, because in his suffering, he's obviously suffering. It really hurts, but he's excited. Because his suffering, he paid the price for our suffering. He paid the price for our sin so that we could be reconciled, so that we could renew our relationship with God, so that there could be no veil between you and God. And all you have to do is accept the free gift of why he suffered. So that's why he was so excited, because he was changing everything. Now, okay, let me see if I can press the right button. I'll probably shut the thing off. Yeah, I pressed the wrong button. Way to go, Patrick. There we go. Can you see that? If I'm being a real annoying person, I could say that maybe that's Jesus. You know, it only hurts when I exist. But the idea is that God does feel our pain and God does suffer with us. And on the cross, he demonstrated that perfectly. The first thing I want to talk about, though, is our invitation to suffer for God, okay? And this is the idea that if I do someone a favor and I get thanked for it, I get paid for it, that's nice. That's more of an exchange. That's more of why you go to work every day. You're not doing your boss a favor by showing up because your boss is going to pay you, those of us who work. But if I suffer for someone, or if I do something good for someone and receive nothing in exchange from them, or perhaps better or worse, I receive pain or suffering or penalty for helping that person, then in essence, what you're doing is suffering on God's behalf. You're suffering the same way that Christ suffered. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. So this can be done in a myriad of tiny ways, okay? The idea of suffering for God, suffering ridicule for our faith, not being afraid to speak up in a moment and speak truth and life and love, rather somebody is going to make fun of you or not. Those of us who, I was talking to a woman in the teaching profession a number of years ago, and she was saying how terrible it is that they can't sing hymns at Christmas anymore. And I said, wow, what a great testament you're going to have. She said, what do you mean? I said, so you could lose your job for speaking about Jesus in school. And she said, yeah. And I said, what a great testament if you do that. What a great testament if you suffer losing your job on behalf of the gospel and the faith, because you wouldn't stand for that. You wouldn't stand for the stifling of the gospel. You know, as being light and friendly about it, I wasn't kind of being like, you better keep doing, you know. I don't know if she ever lost her job over it. Think of missionaries who give up job security, financial security, home, family, friends to move halfway across the world in order to preach the gospel. Think of Paul going through through the Mediterranean, preaching the gospel, spreading the word of Christ, and he suffered psychological, physical, all sorts of damage. So this is a very easy way of seeing how we can suffer for God. Okay? You with me? This is such a light, fun topic. There's going to be a lot of laughing today. First idea. Okay, let's see if I can't. There, I didn't shut it off this time. But I think what sort of strikes us more in our, and what may affect us more in our day-to-day lives, is the idea of suffering with God. In this world, we have freedom of choice. We have the freedom to do good or freedom to do wrong. We have the freedom to bless. We have the freedom to curse. Unfortunately, it seems that the majority of people with significant amounts of power tend to choose sin. They tend to choose selfish ambitions. They tend to choose not good. And as a result, we suffer physically, psychologically, mentally. There's a great deal of suffering in the world, I would argue, because of poor choices of many people, including ourselves. There is the reality of suffering in the world. I mean, we can't deny that there's suffering. Suffering is self-evident, and we all suffer. I'd just love to say this. Is there anybody here who hasn't suffered? Is there anyone here who has suffered? Is there anyone here who's suffering right now? Is there anyone here who's suffering because I'm not pulling this off and I'm really an awful speaker? Thank you, Brian. Nice haircut, Brian. As a Christian, what we need to ask is what effect our suffering has on our faith. Or maybe we should ask what effect our faith has on our suffering. Because our suffering with Christ is a shared experience, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hid their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. The idea is that we do not suffer alone. We do not seek the company of a God who is above our suffering. In many other religious, pantheistic faiths, we may argue they're demonic or not, their God was distant. You know, when a Greek or a Roman fell, they didn't go, oh, Zeus is with me, Zeus is suffering. No, Zeus is up in Zeusdom, firing fiery bolts and sleeping with all the girls. That's Zeus. When you fall and you're hurt, when you suffer pain, you know that Christ empathizes. You know that Christ suffers. You know that you can invite Christ into your pain, and you know that your pain is not a foreign concept to God. In this shared experience, you can know that you're not alone in your suffering. One of the worst parts of suffering, like I get migraines, as many of you have heard me whining about endlessly over the years. The moment when it's really bad, like when it's been going on for 3-4 days and the medication isn't working and I'm just exhausted and I want everybody around me to just shut up and leave and I want to be alone. I want to be isolated. I don't want any input. I don't want any more sympathy. Just leave me alone, okay? A few of us here may have experienced that kind of, you know, discomfort. Sometimes it's psychological. Sometimes it's physical. In that moment, if you're a migraine sufferer, this may sound familiar. In that moment, lying on the kitchen floor, don't know why it's the kitchen floor, I just want to die. Everything else has been peeled back, and it's just me wishing to be alone. But in that moment, and it doesn't always happen, and it doesn't usually happen, if I can find it in myself to reach out to God, I'm not alone. You know, in the Bible, what's that line? Christ in us, the hope, the glory. In the moment that you're suffering, or that you're watching your friends or your relatives suffer, know that it's a shared experience. Christ is in there with them, feeling the pain, walking through the discomfort. There's several prayer models that we're involved with at the Vineyard that involve helping people deal with trauma. And one of the techniques, one of the things we do is, it's called, what's it called, where you have, you invite Jesus into the pain, or you look for Jesus at the time that you are suffering. And every time we do that, it's like, okay, I'm praying and I'm reliving, or I shouldn't say reliving, that's not exactly right. I'm re-experiencing or thinking about or seeing the time in my life when I suffered this trauma. Okay? And we'll pray, where was Jesus? Every time, and I mean every time, they say, he was with me. And what was he doing? And every time, and I mean every time, they say, oh, he was protecting me. And depending on who the person is and the circumstance, we might say, well, how does that feel? Because, you know, the underlying question is, if he was there, why was he letting you suffer? But the people almost always say, he was protecting me. It would have been so much worse if he wasn't there. And he was feeling my pain with me. And that helps. Because when we really suffer, when we really want to be alone, Christ in his grace and his mercy doesn't abandon us. He doesn't run off and go, oh, that's embarrassing. One of my people are suffering. And I said they wouldn't suffer. Oh, he doesn't do that. Another thought is refinement. I love the quote by C.S. Lewis where he says, God loves you just as you are. Isn't that nice? God loves you just as you are. Yeah. Just thinking about myself and going, ugh. Sorry, off topic. God loves you just as you are. But in God's grace and God's love, he sees better for you. He doesn't just love you and say, you know, come to A&W just as you are. You're good. He looks at you and he says, I love you just as you are, but I see better in you. I see more in you. I see hope in you. How many people here, you know, we'll do a show of hands thing, have prayed sincerely and said to Jesus, who am I? Okay, probably, well, that's good. That's a high percentage, maybe half of us. Okay, how many of you, when you prayed that, heard something from Christ that was more than you thought possible? Right? That's what I'm talking about. We pray and we say, Jesus, who am I? And if we're, you know, down on ourselves, we might wait for Jesus to say, nah, you know, whatever, you're, go get a job collecting garbage, it'll be good for you. You know, no, God says, I have so much more for you. I see you as so much better than you do. I have such love for you, and I see you great in the kingdom. But here's the problem. We may not see it. We may not feel it. We may be so bound up and trapped in our poor decisions, our sin, our past, our hurt, our pain, that we think lowly of ourselves. We may never step up into the freedom that God has for us because we're too wrapped up in fear and pain. So there's a method that God uses, and I'm kind of massaging Scripture a little bit here. It's all in Scripture. I'm not making this up. There's a method that God may use that we don't like. God will shape us through our pain and suffering. I am not saying that God hurts you to change you. That's a bully. Jason, you need to be more polite. Be more polite. Sorry, I've too hard for an example. Sorry. For those of you listening at home, I just punched Jason three times. Twice, sorry. Anyways. But the idea is not that God will hurt you. Although there's argument that maybe he does. I don't know. But the important thing to know is that when you're suffering and you can meet God in your suffering, you can give God your suffering. And through that process, God can refine you. It's not that you're bad and you're going to suffer because you're bad. That gets us bound up in thoughts about karma, and that's just a bunch of BS. So I didn't swear there. You know, maybe this is what it took to get your attention. But we have to find this sort of area of grace, this middle ground where we suffer because the world is screwed up and people hurt. I get migraines. Why do I get migraines? Anybody, why do I get migraines? What's that? Chemical imbalance, stress, change in the weather. I fell on my head when I was trampolining in grade 5, and it screwed up the top 2 vertebrae in my neck, and now when the weather changes because of stress and toxicity, and on and on and on, right? You're all right. That's probably all contributing factors. So God didn't say, Patrick needs migraines in order to be a better person, and then squishes my head once a month. The broken sin and pain in the world has contributed to put me in a place where this is what happens. Okay? We may not like the fact that pain shared with Christ can be redemptive and make us a better person, but I'm sorry to say it does. As it says in Romans 5:3, so I got on a plane, I was on a business trip, I avoid business trips, I was getting on a plane knowing that I was about to climb through the sky and then land again on a short flight, which meant the barometric pressure was going down, 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 up, 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 down, 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 and it was going to be truly painful. Before the plane took off, I just, out of nowhere, the weather was changing, and I got this migraine. It came in like someone, it literally felt like someone walked up and smacked me in the head. It just went, pop, and it started hurting. And I was so stressed with this business trip, and I got so angry, going, God, why another migraine? Why now? My pills are in my luggage. I'm on a 2-hour flight, right? And over top of my complaining, I heard Romans 5:3. At that time, it's a few years ago, at that time I'd read the book of Romans, but it didn't stick because it's so complicated, and I just read through it like it was a travel guide, and it's like, spaghetti in my mind, it's too much, I can't hold it. So I just popped open my Bible on my iPhone, and I read Romans 5:3, and I read this, and I almost fell apart and started crying on the plane because I knew it was right, and I knew it was me. We rejoice in our suffering. At that moment, I wasn't rejoicing, by the way. I was cursing. Know that suffering produces endurance. And I went, yeah. I because of this pain that I've gone through over and over and over again, I'm not afraid of pain. It sucks. I've hurt myself really badly and just kept going because it just hurts. Endurance produces character. There are people who've called me a character, but I don't think that was that means. The idea that I have a sense of self. I have a sense of who I am. I am somebody. I'm not just whitewash. Character produces hope. And here's that's the line that got me. Because before I was a Christian, my pre-Christian days, I didn't have hope. I was afraid of death. I was fixated on death. I kept looking for opportunities. Like I'd walk up a staircase and I'd go, I could fall down and die here. And I had no hope for the future. But I have hope now. And I have this crazy, weird hope now. And I don't know, I don't know where it came from, except for maybe what it says here. Because I don't know where my hope came from, if not from Christ. And I don't know what physical life experience pushed me there, if it weren't for the fact that I've endured such pain and come through the other side again and again and again. And I hate migraines. I hate migraines more than Donald Trump. I hate migraines more than anything I can imagine. And I can see the fruit of them now. How do I respond to that? Something that I hate so much has been so good for me. I hate that. Okay, hate might be a strong word there. I hate that my suffering has had such incredible fruit for me. Isn't that's like, what am I, a donkey that God's got to hit me with a 2x4 to get my attention? Apparently. But I go into any situation now. We went on this mission trip in November. And beforehand, I was taking this medication so that I wouldn't get typhoid or yellow fever or something. And I had an allergic reaction to the medication. And as a result of the allergic reaction, my duodenal valve and digestive system and my skin would get an aggravated, and it was really uncomfortable. And I just went, you know what? I gotta endure this storm because it's gonna be okay. And I talk to people who are suffering, and I mean, you know, I'm in prayer ministry, so we see some people who are in really dark places. And I always go, it's gonna be okay. I just know it. I just have this ridiculous hope. Which leads us to hope. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that we that will be revealed to us, Romans 8:18. So I got to ask you, those of us who've suffered, is it reasonable in the midst of your suffering to say to you, oh, that's okay, because someday you'll die and you'll be in heaven? Is that comforting? Come on, let's be honest. No. I believe there was a time in the Christian faith that you could say that to somebody and they'd go, yes, I will endure. But it is the truth. We live in a society that has a really different worldview from when the scriptures were written. So often when we read scripture, we hit something like this, which is really pretty stunningly powerful and an incredible mind-bending promise, and we just disregard it. What I want to think about for a moment is, how often does the Bible talk about suffering? Sarah? Right? Because I've heard people say, especially atheists and angry people, if God is so weak, why does he allow suffering? Does the Bible really say much about suffering? And this whole thing about I get to go to heaven, so I should suffer now and be patient. I want something now. What's the exchange now? But what does the Bible say about suffering? Luke 9. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life and will lose it. Sorry. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save his life. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?
1 Peter 5:10. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you.
2 Corinthians 12:7 to 10. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
2 Timothy 2. Share in suffering as a good soldier for Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him.
James 1, 2-4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing.
Romans 8, 35-39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Psalm 22. For he has not despised or abhorred the afflicted or the affliction, and he has not hidden his face from them, but has heard when they cried to him.
1 Peter 4:12-19. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name.
2 Thessalonians 1:4-6. We ourselves boast about you in our churches of God for your steadfastness and faith in all your persecutions and in the afflictions that you are enduring. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are also suffering.
Matthew 5:10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Revelation 21:4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.
Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
1 Peter 2. For this is a gracious thing, when, mindful of God, one endures sorrow while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin or are beaten for it, for something you deserve? But when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ Jesus also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps.
John 16:33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have suffering, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
Philippians 4:12-14. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble.
John 11. Jesus wept.
2 Corinthians 4:8-10. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies.
Mark 13:13. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved.
Philippians 3. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him.
Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you.
2 Timothy 3:12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted.
1 Peter 1. So, be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus comes. So to recap, God has given us freedom to choose. And it says in the Bible that man has gone after all sorts of ungodly schemes. And suffering and evil and pain are in the world. But I believe that a time is coming when God will look at our pain and the evil in the world, and he will say, enough. He will say, I'm done with this. God will endure our selfishness no more. God will endure our evil choices no more. God will no longer tolerate our pain. A time is coming when there will be no more tears. For as it says in Revelations, he will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. My prayer for us all today, amidst the reality of our suffering and the thin excuses that many of us make or feel, or when we feel isolated in our pain and suffering, my prayer is that we would be prepared for Christ's presence, that we would be open to the love and the glory that Christ offers us, even in the midst of our suffering, that we would have the strength to endure, and that through our enduring suffering, we would come to know hope despite our suffering. So could the prayer ministry team come up? Or whoever feels like praying today, whoever feels up to praying today. This is a happy message. So, perhaps the paradox that we should be embracing it as well in this moment is that although we are called to endure, although we are called to joy in suffering. I mean, that's hard. I mean, come on. That's hard. Although we embrace the idea that Christ meets us in our suffering, we pray for healing. We pray for relief. Because I don't think anybody wants to suffer. I think that we want the fruit of suffering. We want the fruit of hope and endurance. And like I said earlier, I hate this. I hate the fact that I am personally so stubborn that that's what it took to get God into my head, into my heart, into my skin. So my prayer for you all, in Christ's name, I pray that you would find God, that you would follow God, that you would allow Jesus into your heart in a real and divine and anointed way every day of your life, that you would seek and follow truth and justice and love, but that you would find it. You would find it easily. That you would set yourself aside and step into that light and that love that pours from God. That you would not have to endure the crap that I've gone through in order to find God. If anyone here is suffering in any way, and would like a little loving today, would like a little touch of the Holy Spirit today, and perhaps maybe we see a miracle and maybe your suffering is ended today. Wouldn't that be great? We do see a lot of healings through our prayer ministry, actually. We're just pretty quiet about it. Please come forward. Or if you're shy and you don't want to come forward, maybe put your hand up and we can get a few people to gather around you. But understand that as much as we're anxious to see the love of God poured out on you, that in the moment of your pain and your suffering, whether psychological, physical, economic, you're never alone. Open the door to Christ. Invite him into your suffering. I can't say what that looks like for you. For me, it's like, Jesus, let me just open this door. Come into my heart, Lord, and be with me in this moment. And sometimes just silence. Be still and know that I am God.